Jihadi Islam in America. Is it the greatest threat facing America today? How would you rate the imminent threat of jihadi Islam on a scale of 1 to 10? We'll answer these questions and more on today's Stand in the Gap Weekend program.
Welcome to Stand in the Gap Weekend, the American Pastors Network Week in Review, featuring the best segments taken from our Stand in the Gap Today daily program. Our goal is to equip the pastor, church leader, and all believers to think critically and biblically in a culture that increasingly rejects truth. Stand by to hear a focused analysis of current events viewed through the lens of a biblical and constitutional worldview. The pastor's and the believer's goal should be to impact our culture for Christ. As part of our mission to urge pastors to boldly preach the whole counsel of God and equip people to be soldiers and ambassadors for Christ, we're establishing APN chapters in all 50 states. Learn more on the web at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Now, here's our host and American Pastors Network President, Sam Rohr.
Welcome to Stand in the Gap Weekend. Thank you for joining us for today's program. And as you normally do on this program, you'll hear vital information that is pertinent, biblical, and constitutional. We at the American Pastors Network are committed to applying a biblical worldview to the challenges of the day. The goal of our radio programs and other materials is to help equip the church in America by taking the truths of God's Word and applying it to the world around us. On this program, whether you're a concerned Christian or patriotic American, you'll hear answers to some of the toughest and most pertinent questions people are asking. While we know that the purpose of the pulpit is all about the gospel message, we also know that it's not limited to the gospel, but the winning of the lost, and also includes the command to equip the believer to be articulate ambassadors for Christ in an increasingly evil and godless culture. As preachers, we believe that the making of disciples is what the Great Commission is all about, which is why we take the time to dig deep into biblical truth to apply it to what's happening around us. Today we'll be featuring segments from our daily program called Stand in the Gap Today. This particular interview occurred on September the 29th. Our guest was John Guandolo, former FBI agent and founder of UnderstandingTheThreat.com, an organization dedicated to providing strategic and operational threat-focused consultation, education, and training for federal, state, and local governmental agencies. Our theme today focuses on the reality of jihad in America and is designed to help us understand the Islamic threat to our nation. Our guest today brings the credible perspective of law enforcement and a person involved now in training local, state, and national law enforcement on the reality of jihadic Islamic actions in our nation. Today, we'll identify not only the level of threat in America, but also who's involved, how we got to where we are, and then what we can do about it. Friends, the reason we're raising awareness on this issue is because it's crucial that those in elected or appointed governmental positions, the pastors in the pulpit, the employers, father and mothers in the home, all who are responsible to protect those under them, that they understand what is taking place. Not only is this a matter of national security, it's a matter of great religious and ideological proportions, since we know that the agenda of jihad is to subjugate the world under Sharia law and destroy those who oppose them. Truly, the proverbial wool has been thrown over our eyes, but we hope today will serve to enlighten and remove those blind spots on this issue of Islam and jihad in America. Well, today, ladies and gentlemen, we are glad to welcome to Stand in the Gap today a new guest, not new in the world of interviewing, but new to Stand in the Gap today, and his name is John Guandolo. Let me just tell you briefly about it. Because of the importance of this guest and the topic, we're going to commit this entire program to the theme, really, of jihad in America. We shared a lot on this program before about Islam. You know that. We talk about what's taking place. We've talked a whole lot about where is the Muslim Brotherhood? Who is the Islam? What is the jihadist? Can you trust them? All of those kinds of things we've dealt with significantly. We now have a guest who is very specially equipped in order to help us from a vantage point that we've not had. So I'm asking you to stay tuned. Now, let me tell you briefly just a little bit more about our guest as Dave Kistler and I lead this program here today. Call your friends. I really urge you to do this. This is going to be information that will be perhaps unsettling but critically important that you hear. John Guandalo is founder of UnderstandingTheThreat.com, an organization dedicated to providing strategic and operational threat-focused consultation, education, and training for federal, state, and local governmental agencies on this theme of how to defeat the jihadi threat currently facing the United States. He's a Naval Academy grad. He's a former Marine, a former FBI agent, and in fact, he is the first individual to create the first counterterrorism unit within the FBI and to write their first manual on Islamic terrorism, the Muslim Brotherhood, and Islamic ideology. And with that, I'm going to immediately, John, I could say a lot more, but I'm going to welcome John Guandalo to Stand in the Gap today. Thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, John, we have a lot to do and a lot to say on this program, so I'm going to go very quickly. And in this first segment, I want to set this up in a broad perspective. Let's lay the foundation here in this first segment around the idea and the concept of jihadism in America. And I want to go this direction, the level of the threat that it poses and why our listeners must pay close attention. We're going to go into more details and build this out in the balance of the program. Let me start here with this first question for you by going right to the bottom line. John, in your professional and law enforcement national security perspective, if I were to ask you on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the most urgent and imminent, what is the level of threat posed to the security of the United States by Islamic Muhammadan jihadists here in America right now, today, on September 28th, 2016?
10.
10. All right. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it. I have not communicated with John about all the details. I didn't expect to hear 10, I'll tell you. I expected to hear maybe 9. You are saying that jihadism, Islamic jihadism, I'm saying Muhammadan jihadism in America, is number 10, meaning it is at the door. Let me go ahead to the next question. They have said, and we've covered on this program, that the jihadist generation, they're calling themselves in Europe, are really there on the edge of civil war. Their level of infiltration is imminent there, and they have sworn to reduce Europe to ashes, and soon. Now, how would you rate the level of infiltration and commitment to destroy America compared to what's happening in Europe? And are these two efforts, Islam, jihadism in Europe and jihadism in America, are they traveling together? Put these two pieces together, and where are we compared to where Europe is right now?
Okay, so there are two pieces I just want to address very briefly. One, Europe is a little bit ahead of us, but only in the sense that the geography of Europe, the numbers in Europe relative to the host country population is significantly different. Whereas in about 2006 or 7, I said publicly that I would say we were 8 or 9 years behind the Europeans, I would say today, we are probably just 2 or 3 years behind them, if that. I'm not even sure we're that far behind. So when real violence erupts in Europe, we're probably only a couple years behind that, maybe not even that much.
John,
and the thing, let me answer the other part of your question. Yes, they're
sure
Tied together. It's the same people driving the movement in Europe are the same people driving it here. Same organizations. It's the Muslim Brotherhood, Tabliki Jamaat, working directly with Hamas, Al-Qaeda, ISIS.
John, I'll be honest with you. When you said that we're at a 10 threat level here in the United States, I knew it was high. We talk about this topic a lot on this program, but I'll be honest with you, I was stunned, but in one sense, not surprised. Now, I want to ask you this. We have a lot of threats facing the United States of America today, threats from Russia, China, Iran, North Korea. There's a lot of things that America is facing that are very, very dangerous, very, very diabolical. With all of those threats coming from these other countries, and then add into the mix this jihadist threat coming from the Islamic ideology, which is greater? Is it the threat from China, Russia, Iran, North Korea, or is the threat we face from this ideological enemy of Islam, is it greater than any of these others?
Well, the answer to that is the answer to why I said 10, is because, as I've reported and as has been confirmed now by other people, including the guy that used to run the special programs at Irregular Warfare inside the Pentagon, because the other side, the enemy, the jihadis, control, and I mean control, our national security decision-making process. That's why it's a 10. The bad guys aren't just, you know, the fox isn't just in the hen house. The fox is running the entire farm. And as Philip Haney, a recently retired DHS officer with Customs and Border Protection, who was also, while he was in, not only shut down from doing investigations, where he had the most significant investigations against the jihadis inside the DHS going on, they had him ordered him to remove hundreds of records of known terrorists and terrorist-related organizations out of their database, which is a violation of the law. So when we talk about how big, bad it is, that's what we're talking about. And Philip Haney said, under the Bush, and this is almost a direct quote, under the Bush administration, the Muslim Brotherhood were in the meetings. During this current administration, they're running the meetings. They are driving the train, and we have on numerous occasions linked direct policy changes on U.S. foreign policy, counterterrorism strategy, and warfighting strategy based directly on what the Muslim Brotherhood has said we should do. That is why we're at a 10.
John Guandalo, founder of UnderstandingTheThreat.com. That is his website. You can go there and find information. He's going to be with us the balance of this program. Ladies and gentlemen, we're just starting. If I could summarize, the question is, what is the level of threat for jihadi in the United States on a scale of 1 to 10? John has just said it's a 10. When we come back, we're going to go right to the next question of this issue here. What are they working on here in America? And we're going to find out specifically what they're up to here. Stay with us. We'll be right back after these important announcements. As you can see, the threat level for jihad in America is at the highest it can possibly go. Not only have our highest governmental agencies been infiltrated, but as we're going to see next, the surreptitious penetration of suit-wearing jihadis into every level of American society has gone on under our very noses. We're talking about the media, our education and legal systems, our social organizations, and much more. Let's continue now with our guest, John Guandalo, on the topic of jihad in America. Well, welcome back to Stand in the Gap today, and we welcome now back with us John Guandalo, our special guest today. He is the founder of UnderstandingTheThreat.com. He is a former Marine, Naval Academy graduate, FBI agent, and the writer of the first FBI manual of Islamic terrorism, all about the Muslim Brotherhood and Islamic ideology. John, as we left that last segment, you established the fact that on a scale of 1 to 10, the jihadi threat to the freedom of America and America as we know it is a 10, so it can go no higher in your opinion. Let's go a little bit further here now in this segment, if we could. And I'd like to delve a little bit deeper into how have the jihadi Muslims, or how deeply, I guess, have the jihadi Muslims embedded themselves throughout American society? And you did mention a little bit on the other side, but let me frame the first question this way. In past writings, you have said that American Muslims are working daily to prepare for jihad in America at all levels of society. What did you mean by that?
Well, if we just look at documents recovered by the FBI in the 2004 raid, where in Annandale, Virginia, 10 minutes from the nation's capital, where the archives of the U.S. Muslim Brotherhood were discovered, we see much of that evidence was then entered in the largest Hamas and terrorism financing trial in American history, a case called the U.S. versus Holy Land Foundation in Dallas, Texas in 2008. It was adjudicated. And it was not only the largest Islamic charity in America, it was a Hamas organization, meaning it was a terrorist organization. So the largest Islamic charity in America was a terrorist organization. In my world, we call that an investigative clue. And so when you look at what those documents said they were doing and what we see them doing on the ground, we see that they have thousands of organizations, media organizations, legal organizations, civil rights organizations, social organizations, Islamic centers, mosques, and Islamic organizations and schools, from elementary schools up to schools that they're trying to develop here at the collegiate and post-grad level. They've got organizations like Muslim Student Association, which is a jihadi organization per the evidence. It's the Muslim Brotherhood's recruiting node in the United States, on every major college campus. So when I say that, I mean that. They have Sharia-compliant finance mechanisms that have been embedded into the Department of Treasury that are in all major banks. And so when we understand that those mechanisms necessarily fund terrorism, and yet it's approved by our government, I'm talking about in all levels of society. They've got programs, they being the jihadis in the form of the Muslim Brotherhood mostly, at the state level, where they take state legislators on junkets to Turkey to essentially indoctrinate them as to how moderate Turkey is. At the congressional level, the U.S. level, on Capitol Hill, they take members of Congress on 10-day junkets to Saudi Arabia to show them how moderate and progressive they are. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that should be outlawed, but we're allowing it to happen. This is much more a counterintelligence and espionage issue than it is a terrorism matter. And they truly are, at all levels of society, coming at us, and we're just gobbling it up, and our leadership has failed us catastrophically.
John, one of the things that has troubled us on this program greatly is not just what you have just said and the depth of the infiltration, but we have talked a good bit on this program about how the Muslim Brotherhood has infiltrated the CIA, Department of Homeland Security, FBI, White House, State Department, and so on. Could you provide for us some illustrations of the depth of penetration within these entities that the American people are putting so much confidence in? And if you could, can you give names and which entity that person who you name is a part of, so that we can understand the depth of this?
Well, sure, but let me preface that by saying I challenge your listeners to find one advisor, Islamic advisor, that's working with those organizations you just named and others that are not a part of the jihadi movement here in the United States. You know, they're suit-wearing jihadis. Is what they are. So let me just give you a couple examples that will help your audience realize that what we're saying is true. So I'm going to go back and then jump to today. So go back to 2000, 1998, 1996, 2002, 2003, and Abdurrahman Alamoudi was the most prominent Islamic leader in America. He was the senior Islamic advisor to the President of the United States, President Clinton, Vice President Gore. He created almost and was the leader of almost two dozen of the largest and most influential Islamic organizations in America. He was a goodwill ambassador for the State Department and actually participated in the Middle East peace process on behalf of the United States of America. He worked with the Department of Education on what went in public school textbooks. He created the Muslim chaplain program for the Department of Defense and specifically handpicked Muslims who would be quote-unquote Muslim chaplains inside the military. And it turns out he was arrested at Heathrow Airport in 2003 with $340,000 cash that he got from Muammar Gaddafi and Libyan intelligence for the global jihad. He was implicated in a plot to kill the Saudi crown prince who became King Abdullah with two al-Qaeda operatives in the UK. He was a Muslim Brotherhood Hamas operative, and in fact the Department of Treasury said he was a senior al-Qaeda financier. Now, if that's not penetration at the highest level, I don't know what is. Fast forward, Mohammed Majid, who's an imam, a very prominent imam, stepped down recently as the president of the Islamic Society of North America. the largest Muslim Brotherhood group in North America. The government's own documents that they entered into evidence in the trial I just spoke about, the U.S. versus Holy Land Foundation, the U.S. government identifies ISNA, Islamic Society of North America, not only as a Muslim Brotherhood group, but they sent money directly from their accounts on numerous occasions directly to Hamas leaders and Hamas organizations around the world. That man, Mohammed Majid, directly advises the last three, has advised the last three secretaries of state, is frequently a guest at the White House, serves with a secret clearance on the Homeland Security Advisory Committee, has been given awards by the FBI. You want to talk about penetration. He speaks and has spoken at CIA headquarters in Langley to teach leaders there about how to fight the war on terror. I mean, this is, you can't make this stuff up.
John, as you're, and I don't want to cut you off because you could give us lists, but I think you have done enough here to establish the fact all the way through. When you say these positions, and they are in there instructing our military, they are helping to choose chaplains all the way through. This, to me, is embedded. To me, it sounds almost like, John, that there's actually perhaps what I would term perhaps a shadow government that may be operating within our regular government, but somehow, some way, there are folks like you mentioned the last three secretaries of state and this administration. They're in and out of the White House. It seems like Hillary Clinton and a Barack Obama and others have got to be knowing about it, and leaders of Congress that would at the minimum be classified as enablers, if not direct participants in this effort. How do you respond to that kind of a concept? Is there a shadow government actually in place?
Well, interesting thing that I found in my work that I've done is that the enemy actually means what they say, and we have their own documents that were recovered by the FBI in which they say a part of what they're doing. And by the way, we also have declassified FBI documents from investigations and from sources that's now available dating back to 1987, where they say one of the objectives of how they operate, the Muslim Brotherhood specifically, their movement here, is they establish a shadow government within the government. And the purpose of that is when they take over, when they overthrow the government, see, they actually believe they're going to do it. That's why they're actually working daily to do this. They believe they're going to do it. Whether they do it or not, we can discuss that. But we know that they have a plan to do it, and they talk about doing it. And the shadow government, the people they have in place, are people that will be in charge when they take over. Now, what are they doing now? Two things. One, collecting intelligence, and two, dissemination operations, influence operations. When we see what they're influencing, our policy across the board in domestic terrorism and counterterrorism efforts, foreign policy as it relates to the entire Muslim world, you see that it is Democrat, Republican, catastrophic failure. And when Americans ask the logical question, why do our leaders seem like they're complete morons? It's because they're turning to their right and left, and the only people they're getting advice from are jihadis wearing suits.
John, let me ask this, and I don't know if we'll have time before the break, but you partially answered my question there, but how does this happen, John? How in the world have these people been able to work their way into these positions of influence and leadership, and why have those in the know in Congress not stopped it?
And with that, John, hold your comment, Dave, and listeners, we're going to come back to that after the break. We're going to have John answer that question, which I know probably all of you listening saying, if all of this is true, and all of these positions are embedded, and if in fact there is a shadow government in place in this country, how in the world did it get to this point? John, I want to hear that answer from you as well. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Stand in the Gap today. This is Sam Rohr and David Kistler, our special guest, John Guandalo, author of Understanding the Threat and the founder of that. Stay with us. We're going to be right back. We're glad you're listening to today's Stand in the Gap weekend. Did you know that the American Pastors Network produces not only Stand in the Gap today and Stand in the Gap weekend, but also a one-minute program carried on over 200 stations nationwide called Stand in the Gap Minute. Here's the program from last week. I hope that you enjoy this important challenge. October is Pastor Appreciation Month. When's the last time you showed your pastor some appreciation? Hello, I'm Sam Rohr with the American Pastors Network and another Stand in the Gap Minute. Do you know that the word pastor literally means shepherd, a person charged with caring for a flock? Shepherds give care, but they also need care. At APN, we encourage pastors because they need it. As a shepherd, the pastor's role is difficult and, contrary to public opinion, often lonely. Shepherding a flock of sheep isn't easy. They're vulnerable, weak, needy, stubborn. Trying to teach, lead, or train a sheep is hard. Shepherding a flock of people is even harder. Research indicates that over 60% of pastors in the pulpit are at least slightly afraid of some sheep in their flock and, in fact, have been sheep bit. That's right. Well over half the pastors have been bitten by a sheep. I hope you've not bitten your pastor. Instead, I urge you to show your appreciation for your pastor by praying for him and caring for him. Even a pastor needs to know that they're loved. You've been listening to Stand in the Gap Weekend, and we've been discussing the threat of jihad in our nation. Our guest, former FBI agent John Guandolo, has been sharing with us some of the research his organization called Understanding the Threat has done on the level of infiltration by Muslims into literally every part of our government and society. You might be asking yourself the question, well, how has this happened? Which is what we're going to go and talk about next. Now, who's behind the diabolical plan to take over America, and how did they get into positions of leadership? How have the gatekeepers fallen asleep and allowed those who hate us to become members of the highest-ranking citizens in our country? Let's listen in. Let's go back right now to our guest, John Guandolo, the founder of Understanding the Threat. John, just before we went into that last break, Dave Kistler ask you the question, how in the world is it possible we could get to this point where there is such a deep level of embeddedness by active, known jihadist Muslims in and throughout our government, and someone in some position, Congress, FBI, something, that didn't stop this? How has this happened, and how is it continuing to happen?
Well, first of all, again, I would encourage your listeners to be alert to the fact that this is not an unintentional, just happenstance. This is the intended outcome of a long-term, hostile information campaign, truly initiated by the Soviet Union and the KGB when they targeted American universities. They targeted the media, they targeted the religious community, and certainly the political community. And so dating back to the 1930s and 40s, we now know that they penetrated our government, our American universities in the 50s and 60s, seminaries and things like that. And so the beginning of being able to not discern between good and evil, between a system that's threatening and a system that's not, begins with that. And so we have a couple generations at least of Americans, I would say several, and certainly several generations of politicians who don't have a history of being the most courageous Americans to begin with, but we do have a heritage of some very courageous politicians from both sides of the political aisle. We just are not seeing any of them right now, or we're certainly seeing a handful as opposed to a majority. It begins with that, with the destruction of who we are, the destruction of reasoned thought. And I know this may sound esoteric to some of your listeners, but this is exactly what they've been doing. So when the Soviets, I mean, we have plenty of Soviet defectors who have shared with us what was their primary job, many of them, well, they worked in the media. And they did things to affect news stories, and they understand the power of propaganda. And the majority of their programs, the majority of their funding, was not for secret agent stuff. It was for propaganda. It was for paying people to go into universities and to recruit professors and people who led universities. Now, 30, 60 years later, this is what you get. So when you have a threat like Islam come in and puts a mask on and says, hey, we're your friends, you got a bunch of people in leadership positions that can't tell the difference. That's essentially how this happened. And then you have witting accomplices. Yeah.
So you're making a connection, and we have on this program before talked about the Marxist infiltration way back, and you can go back, and we actually just brought up quotes from folks way back in the 1950s who were laying out the strategies of where we're going, and that's where we are here now. Are you saying or suggesting right now that that Marxists who have targeted a country a long time ago, we know they targeted education, we know they as you said, seminaries, all kinds of things, are they working together with the Islamists in a joint effort, or they just happen to be about the same goal, and that is weakening and bringing down the United States for their own individual separate purposes, perhaps?
Okay, that I believe is the most important thing we need to talk about. The answer is they're working directly with each other. The hard left Marxist movement working directly with jihadi organizations. We saw it right after 9/11 when groups like ANSWR, hard left, George Soros-funded organizations working directly with Hamas entities like the Council on American Islamic Relations, the Islamic Society of North America, which we just talked about, Muslim Public Affairs Council and others, holding joint anti-war protests all the way up to today, where we see publicly at an Al-Quds Day celebration in New York City, which celebrates the Muslim victory over Jerusalem, some 1,300 and some years ago, we see them literally saying, we, Black Lives Matter. So Black Lives Matter, first of all, at an Al-Quds Day, publicly saying, we support the Palestinian cause, you know, Hamas.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the leader of Hamas in the United States on camera at a Muslim Brotherhood conference in December in Chicago saying, Black Lives Matter is our matter. Black Lives Matter is our campaign. We see them walking the streets together. We see them working. We see them using the same funding channels. Yes, they're working together. So when I can just tell you in our training programs, our primary three-day training program for law enforcement, when we show them that the shootings in Dallas are not separate and apart from the bombings in New York, that these groups are already working together, it not only blows their mind, but all of a sudden they're able to put things together that they're experiencing on the streets of their own hometowns. And it, of course, makes perfect sense because then they can put together facts and evidence that they already have but did not know this before we brief them on it.
John, I've got two questions for you, and you may need an entire segment to answer each, but I know you can answer these. Number one, we know that the prisons of America have become a key recruiting ground for jihadist recruits. Are there other places that are recruiting grounds as well, or are prisons the number one place? And then I want to ask this question because I think I can hear our listening audience asking. You talked earlier about how thoroughly embedded and infiltrated these groups, these individuals have gotten into the U.S. government. What about the White House itself, and what about our president? There's been a lot of things that have circled around him where his loyalties lie, where maybe they don't lie. So how complicit is the White House, entities within the White House and the president himself, with a jihadist mindset?
All right, first question. Number one place they're recruiting is inside our schools, American universities and colleges. Obviously, they're doing recruitment inside Islamic organizations, and I want to be clear. When you hear our leaders say that they're getting radicalized, quote-unquote, on the Internet, that's nonsense. They're getting they're getting pulled into the jihad in mosques and Islamic centers all over the country. We can tie all these attacks right back to from Orlando, San Bernardino, Boston bombers, Little Rock, Arkansas shooting, killing of Private Andy Long there, Chattanooga shooters, all the way back to Major Nadal Hassan at Fort Hood and back to 9/11, right to Muslim Brotherhood organizations. 9/11 support from the Islamic Center of Southern California and the Darul Hijra Islamic Center in Falls Church, Virginia, right up to Omar Mateen and the Islamic Center of Fort Pierce, San Bernardino, Boston Bombers, Islamic Society of Boston, Islamic Society of Chattanooga, all Muslim Brotherhood. In the case of San Bernardino and Chattanooga, or in Orlando, those were Tabliki Jamaat mosques, but they're on the same train doing the same thing. So that's the first answer, is yes, in Islamic centers, but where they're recruiting non-Muslims to either support them or bring them into Islam and then into the jihad is college campuses, but they're also starting to get into our high schools and even in junior highs. So that's the first part. The second piece, listen, I'm surprised. I don't understand people that ask questions about the president. I honestly do not. And here's why. I look at two things. I look at the man and I look at his policies. Let's just talk about the man. His father and stepfather were Muslims. His mother was a little bit of a, his own stated mentor was Frank Marshall Davis, a prominent member of the Communist Party USA. He studies under and teaches Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, which is a book about Marxist revolutionary ideology that's dedicated to Satan. So you tell me, I'm just confused about people that don't get it. Of course he's not going to support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Well, John, and I'm going to follow up on that because you asked that question. I believe that most Christian Americans, most patriotic Americans, are very, very reluctant to raise a charge against someone who is in authority. The Bible commands us to be very careful about that kind of thing. I think your measurement, though, as you're saying, look at the man, look at the policies. I think that does allow one to come to a conclusion, but John, I'm going to follow up with you on that and say, is not perhaps part of the reason why otherwise good-thinking Americans are not able to come to a conclusion and have some confidence that they've made the right choice, just like what you said? He has a father that was a Muslim. He's actually said it himself. He was trained by Davis and these other guys. Those are a fact. And look at his policies. Look at the policies. I think, is it possible that the influence of the propaganda machine by the Islamists and these Marxists have led the American people to the point where they can't come to a logical conclusion based on observable facts?
Well, I would say the propaganda machine is pretty significant, and it might keep people initially from getting to the truth. But anybody that does an objective look at this, who has the ability, who has a functioning brain with the ability to reason and discern, has no problem coming to this. We talk to them all the time. I brief groups of 1,500, 200 police officers in our three-day program, and they get it. There's a 100% locked on, and when I talk to citizens groups. So I think if you look at the facts, you can see what's going on.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to John Guandolo today. He is the founder of Understanding the Threat, a former FBI agent. He's written the book on the manual of what and how we ought to perceive Islam activity here in the country. When we come back in this next segment, we're going to go to the issue of the timing of their jihad activity. He's already established it's a 10 on a 1 to 10 scale. It's a 10. We're going to look at what the Islams and Muslims mean by 0 hour and what that relates to where we are right now. Stay with us. We'll be right back. At the American Pastors Network, we urge pastors and Christian parents to seek a Christian education for their children, not as a preference, but a conviction. Whether in homeschool or Christian school, a Christian education is essential if we ever hope to raise godly children and change the culture for Christ. That's why on this program and our Stand in the Gap Today program, we are glad to partner with BJU Press, the nation's largest provider of K-12 Christian curriculum. Academically excellent, biblically sound, and historically accurate. Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com. You've now heard about the level of threat, the infiltration of jihadist Muslims into our government and society, and just now we discussed how it has happened. The final question remains, what can we do? Who is able to reverse the damage that has been done? Who can recognize and alert the public to danger through education and laws that protect our citizens? Who can wage that kind of warfare on a spiritual level and cry out to God to intervene in all that is happening? Join me now in this final selection to hear what can be done to avert jihad in America in this final hour. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope that what you've been listening to on this program has, if you've not been awake, that you are just, I don't know, I hope that you've jumped out of your seat a time or two and that you have gotten agitated and you've gotten alerted to the reality of the threat that sits within America. We're talking today with our guest, John Guandalo. He's the founder of Understanding the Threat. And he's made it very, very clear that of the threats facing America, it is active jihadism, Islam, in America that's been here for a long time, coordinating with Marxism, coordinating with other anti-God efforts, have their people embedded throughout our government, starting in the White House on down, and they're serious about what they are wanting to do. It's time that we in America get serious, of those of us who are Christians, who particularly and understand the truth, understand that this is a serious thing. John, I want to wrap this program up in this section here by wanting to, I want to end up asking what the average person can do, but I want to go here first to two other questions. First, Muslims are using the term zero hour. I've heard that before. What does that mean? Because that sounds rather ominous.
Well, that's their term for when they decide to go kinetic here in the in the United States. That's when you will see coordinated violence in the United States. Warfare.
And are they close at hand?
No, this is not something that's immediate as far as the initiation of that, from my assessment. But when I say immediate, I mean in the next several months. But depending on how quickly Europe goes, you will see the United States. You see, they view the United States, the Muslim Brotherhood does, as the best place in the West to establish an Islamic state. But because they've assessed our system, they believe they can get vast majority of the work. I mean, right now, they wouldn't do it because they've got our government doing what they need us to do to forward the movement in the rest of the world. But it will come to that, yeah, of course.
Dave,
John,
you got a question?
John, let me ask you. Yes, I do. John, of course, we have a presidential election now that is about as stark a contrast with respect to this topic that we could possibly have. And Donald Trump has issued repeated warnings, cautions about allowing the unmitigated entrance of refugees and those from the Middle East that are of Islamic background or adhere to an Islamic ideology, come from an Islamic country, allowing them into the country in an unmitigated fashion, he says, is incredibly dangerous, which, of course, we believe it is as well. Does the possibility of a Donald Trump presidency scare the jihadists out of their mind? And if it does the looming possibility of Trump becoming president, does that escalate the likelihood of some type of an attack taking place either in the United States, in Europe, or both?
That question has a lot of parts to it, but let me just say this. It's my belief that Mr. Trump at a gut level understands the problem, but not nearly the depth of the network here in the United States and how deeply they're embedded at the local, state, and national level. I wouldn't say that his election scares the whatever out of them. I think that they're concerned, but you need to know somewhere in the Northern Virginia, Washington, D.C. area, there are dozens of Muslim brothers trying to figure out if he gets elected, how do they get jobs in the next administration? You've got people floating around Mr. Trump, like I would say Chris Christie is a good example, who's completely batting for the other team. And what I mean by that is he might as well be a suit-wearing jihadi because he defends him so frequently. So that's what they want. They want either people like that or they want their own people in there advising. But either way, that's how it's going to work. And they now have so many people in the bureaucracy that are either Marxists who think they're partnered with the Brotherhood, but they're actually not, but they think they are, and the Brotherhood will use them until the Brotherhood kills them. But then you've also got Muslim Brothers in the embedded in there as well. But I do want to say this very briefly. While there may be listeners out there who feel like if Mr. Trump won the election, they wouldn't necessarily feel like that's their victory. I get that. But let me assure you, his defeat will be your defeat because the other candidate is just out and out defending the other side and, quite frankly, taking millions of dollars for the other side to do so. So that is, from a national security standpoint, a significant difference between these two candidates. I mean, remember, Mrs. Clinton also wrote a thesis in which she thanked Saul Alinsky for allowing her to work with him and do the things she did. Again, it's a guy who she taught his ideology, which is Marxist revolutionary ideology, and the book is dedicated to Satan. So I'm not sure we need to know too much more about that.
I think, John, you have made some things very, very clear. You brought up some other points there that I'd love to continue, but I can't explore them too much longer here at this point. Let me come back here on this point, part of the equation. People are asking, I know. Well, John, Sam, Dave, we've been hearing what you're talking about here today. The jihadi enemy in America is real. They're embedded. They're absolutely bent on destroying everything we have. And the matter of fact, they think that the climate in the United States is so conducive, they could actually, if I heard you right, believe that it could be the best opportunity for a new caliphate anywhere in the world. John, if that is the case, then what should the concerned American, the concerned Christian, do right now in response? What should we be doing to counter this, or are you saying we're already too late? I don't think you're saying that, so what should we do?
No, if I thought we were too late, I'd be in Tahiti drinking a Mai Tai on the beach.
There you go.
Like that.
And I want that to be known to people. I want that to be known to people. We're raising the alarm. It's a number 10. It's well down the road, but there is something that still can be done. John, please, go ahead and lay that on us now.
So if the work that UTT has done in mapping out the threat here in the United States and the thousands of jihadi organizations doing what they do, it is what we say it is, and it is, this likens itself to an insurgency. And in a counterinsurgency, the focus of the battle is at the local level. And so the two most important people groups become sheriffs and pastors. And sheriffs, because they're the most powerful law enforcement officers in the country, and because they really only answer to the people. They can even disregard their county council, though it's preferable if you get your council on board or your parish council, that's fine, but not necessary if you have a bold sheriff. And the people. Part of the reason the Americans are so quiet, as you mentioned, is because a lot of them don't know. But what we do know is that there has been silence, near silence from American pulpits since 9/11 about the truth about Islam. As a matter of fact, it's worse than that. Many, many large Christian organizations, both U.S.-based that work domestically and some of the biggest that work internationally, say things and defend this community. So go to Understanding the Threat, sign up for the newsletter, get on our distribution, and support your sheriffs to get the training to your area.
John Gondalo of Understanding the Threat, thank you for being with us today. Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it. How do we repel what's happening? The people must get informed. Sheriffs, local support level, very important, and it's the pastors in the pulpit, which is what this broadcast is all about. Pastors in the pulpit must proclaim the truth. The truth will prevail. Ladies and gentlemen, Stand in the Gap today. Thanks for being with us. Join us tomorrow, 23 hours from now. If you've been alarmed, perhaps shocked by what you heard today, that's good. The truth on this important topic has been so distorted that many of God's people, including most pulpits in America, have become silent. The prophets of old were as watchmen on the wall, calling out and alerting the people to the presence of the enemy. Our Stand in the Gap programs and the American Pastors Network senses this role as part of our calling. Perhaps the Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart about coming alongside us as a monthly financial partner. We believe that we are running out of time for God's people and the church in America to communicate God's word and freedom. We need your urgent help right now. If you understand the need to enlist and fortify pastors across the nation as they commit to preaching passionately the whole counsel of God with a biblical worldview, then help us. If you pray that pastors would begin committing to praying fervently with faith, obedience, discipline, and fasting, and encouraging their congregations to be salt and light, engaging the culture with truth, and good citizenship, and biblically informed voting, then help us. Establishing state chapters of bold and obedient pastors is part of God's calling for APN. But we need your monthly financial help right now. For a gift of just $25 or more, I will send you a DVD of a recent sermon I preached entitled Preparation for Persecution. Persecution is a reality we see as a result of Islam around the world. It's a topic that Scripture speaks about, but for which there is very little preaching. Christ speaks about it, and we must understand how to prepare. You will want others to watch this sermon and share it with them as well. When you send your gift, just mark on the check or online when you order the DVD for Preparation for Persecution. Just note that, please. If you'd like to help us in our goal to establish more state chapters on a broader scale, you can do that, and we'd be glad to send you the same DVD, Preparation for Persecution, as a thank you. You know, it takes about $10,000 to fully launch each chapter. We have bold and articulate pastors in 5 states right now ready to go, but we lack the necessary funds to do so. Could you join us in accomplishing this goal by making a contribution right now? Perhaps you could give a one-time gift of many thousands of dollars. Perhaps you can help with several hundred or maybe far less. God will bless and magnify whatever you give. God knows what you can do and will bless all that you do to help the American Pastors Network in this critical God-ordained effort. To help is simple. You can call us online at 610-901-3607. That's 610-901-3607. Or you can go to the standinthegapradio.com site and press the donate button. Your financial help right now cannot be overstated. And just specify again the gift offer, Persecution, and we'll send you the DVD. To write out a check to APN, send your gift to American Pastors Network, 83 West Main Street, Elverson, Pennsylvania, 19520. America is at a crossroads. God's people hold the key, and the pulpits of America must lead the way. Help us at the American Pastors Network to stand in the gap for truth now. We hope to hear from you this week. Until next time, stand in the gap for truth where you are.
Thank you for listening to Stand in the Gap Weekend, the American Pastors Network Week in Review. Our goal is to equip the pastor, church leader, and all believers to think critically and biblically in a culture that increasingly rejects truth, and to provide you with a focused analysis of current events viewed through the lens of a biblical and constitutional worldview. APN promotes the return of our nation to God through preaching, praying, and equipping Christians to reclaim the culture as soldiers and ambassadors of Christ. God hears the calls of His people who learn the truth and obey it. To partner with APN, please visit us on the web at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. You can sign up to receive regular updates, to become a prayer partner, or to help as a financial partner. You may also call us at 610-901-3607. Again, that's 610-901-3607. To listen to any of our Stand in the Gap programs, including our live daily program, go to standinthegapradio.com. That's standinthegapradio.com. Thank you for listening today. And be sure to tune in next week at this same time for Stand in the Gap Weekend, the American Pastors Network. Pastors preaching the truth, equipping their people to impact the culture for Christ.